This is Jordan Secchio with breaking news. Nancy Pelosi has announced a Wednesday vote, that's tomorrow, to send the articles of impeachment and name the House managers over to the U.S. Senate, beginning the trial.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So let me make one statement that I think we will know by, it looks like, tonight or tomorrow, and that is exactly when the Senate begins its proceedings. It appears, based off the reporting, that Nancy Pelosi has told the House Democrats the resolution to both name the House managers, which she has still not announced, and send or transmit the articles of impeachment over to the U.S. Senate, that vote will occur sometime tomorrow, that's Wednesday, in the House of Representatives. Now, timing of that vote is key when it comes to what happens in the Senate. Because initially in the Senate, you have the Senate swear in, you have the Chief Justice swear in, and then there is time. The president's legal team that I'm a member of, we have 2 days to file an answer to those articles. The Democrats representing the House, so the House managers, then have an additional day to file theirs. That would be before you get to the rules being voted on and in the amendment process. And that's the first time you would see the attorneys on both sides of this, the House managers from the Democrat side representing the articles of impeachment to impeach the president, and the president's legal team on the floor, because once they start trying to amend the rules, the Democrats or others, Republicans as well, you get to, they don't get to debate that. The legal teams do. And you get an hour per side on each proposed amendment to the rule. Now, that's the first day of where you'd see action by people like my dad, Jay Sekulow, Pat Cipollone, the White House counsel, and whoever these House managers are going to be. We'll find out very soon, at least by tomorrow, if that's not released later on today. Could that happen as early as Saturday? Still on this timeline? Yes. The other option is that some of the procedural things that happen without the attorneys that are not quite as contentious, but are just kind of starting things in motion, as we said in the tease. Once those articles are transmitted to the Senate, this begins in motion. You know, it starts the process, and it ramps up fairly quickly. So the big question now is, do we see action Saturday? When I say action, do you start seeing actual back and forth between the representatives of the president and the representatives of the House who are supporting the impeachment of the president? Do you start to see that action through the amendments to the rules debate? Or, because Monday is the Martin Luther King holiday, does it all start on Tuesday and of next week? Now, I will tell you, we're fully prepared. You know, if I got to jump on a plane Friday, I'd be ready to jump on the plane Friday and be there Saturday as well. Most of our team that needs to be there is already in place. And I'm talking about our team that represents the president that is involved in this. I wanted to make sure I could be with you as much this week as possible to explain what was happening in the House and Senate. And that's what we're doing. 1-800-684-3110 today on the broadcast. We're also going to get into the politics of this. There is a Democrat debate tonight. So if you're not too tired after watching the college football championship and LSU's victory, then you can watch the Democrat debate tonight and then start watching the procedural motions of impeachment the following day. So we're going to break it all down for you. We're also going to get into the politics of Iowa, February 3rd, New Hampshire, February 11th, and how it impacts a lot of these senators who are going to be sitting in their seats on the well of the Senate without an ability so easily to get back to Iowa to campaign. We'll talk about it all. When we come back, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. I want to let you know, as a member of the president's legal team, they're ready to go. We're ready to go. My dad's ready to go. Pat Cipollone's ready to go. There will be others, some who've been mentioned, deputies to the White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, serious attorneys. There'll be others that may join if necessary to present, because you have a significant amount of time, possibly up to 24 hours. So really under the likely timeline of this. So remember, we got you to the rules section. That either will be Saturday or Tuesday. Won't be Monday, not because it's Monday, but because of the Martin Luther King holiday. So Saturday or Tuesday is kind of the most, I'd say, Than, that's kind of the most out of control and typical kind of Senate you see, but for the fact that, because you're going to have lawyers debating. In the Clinton impeachment, it took 2 days to get through that before they got to the opening statements, which were not to pass the basic rules, but then when they go to the offering amendments to the rules. And that's before you have the constraints of, we're going to start at this time and end at this time. Once we get through that, then we're going to have a daily schedule. We're going to know exactly what time this starts every day and what time it ends. And there may be a little wiggle room at the start and the end, depending on if there's anything else comes up, but not much. It's not like they're going to say, well, we were going to end at 7, now we're going to end at 11 o'clock at night. That's not how this works. But that first day or two of getting through the rules, as we know, and I know this sometimes sounds like the part that's not as interesting, but it's actually, Than, one of the most important, if not the most important, part to how a trial begins, is setting the rules of the game.
Yeah, I think it's the pivot point in the trial, Jordan. I really do. And look, it might be when the Senate first starts ceasing to look like the Senate that people know. I mean, look, over the course of the next couple of days, I think you're going to see some of the, I don't know if tedious is the right word, but some of the procedural stuff that people are used to seeing. I mean, Jordan, after the House votes, the Senate actually has to vote on a resolution that says, hey, we're ready to receive the articles before the House actually sends them over. So that part of the process, Jordan, I think is going to look somewhat similar to what people are used to in the United States Senate. But you're right. When they get to this point on the rules and they have to start debating what rules are going to govern the procedures, even, Jordan, even if it looks almost identical to what it looked like 20 years ago, I think that's the point where people will be surprised at how it looks. And quite frankly, while it's not going to be maybe as boring for some of the senators when they can no longer speak, I think that's the point where you're going to start seeing senators, even on the Democrat side of the aisle, saying, what are we doing here?
Yes, because they know that they have a weak case. I don't think most of those Senate Democrats wanted to be here. They trusted Nancy Pelosi when she said it wasn't, you know, this wasn't worth it. We have an election coming up in November. Focus on that. And that's where we should be. I mean, we should let the Democrats have their primary, make their campaign and their case against the president politically, instead of taking everyone's time up, including the dragging the American people through this. This, again, could be, it took 5 weeks in the Clinton impeachment. Now, there was a lot more going on there. There was a lot of different aspects to it that aren't here. This is a fairly simple, you know, there's two articles, both, again, very weak. I'm not going to go further than that right now because I'm not going to give away our arguments. And I say our arguments for the president and what we'll be making because, you know, we've talked a lot about those articles. We've slammed them. We've walked through why they're kind of bogus and weak. But we'll leave it for there right now because we'll save it if necessary so that all those senators have to hear exactly what we have to say about it on both sides of the aisle. And there's multiple reasons why. Some that they have, remember, they've never heard from us directly. They've heard from, you know, the only way we've been able to respond is through going on media, a radio broadcast, writing op-eds, things like that, talking to the press. We have not been able to respond formally in the House. So if I were those House Democrats who get named managers, I'd be pretty nervous if it was Jay Sekulow, Pat Cipollone, their deputies, and people they may not even know about yet who end up presenting on behalf of the president against this. Because those are real attorneys, not members of Congress who bloviate. And those House managers are going to find themselves in a very new world that isn't controlled by Nancy Pelosi, but instead by Mitch McConnell and the Chief Justice of the United States of America. And guess who on the president's legal team has got a lot of experience appearing before the Chief Justice of the United States of America? Jay Sekulow, our chief counsel at the ACLJ, and the namesake of the Jay Sekulow Live radio broadcast. So for some of them, that's going to be new and novel and maybe a little intimidating, actually, because of the formality. Now, I do want to tell you, this is a much more formal process than especially once they get through that rules back and forth. Once you get the, we're going to start at, you know, 1 o'clock, here's your time, opening statement, question time. The questions aren't actually orally presented by the senators. They're in writing to the Chief Justice, who then asks the questions. It's a very much more formal process than probably what people expect, even if they do think they remember some of the Clinton impeachment trial, because they never have seen one the way they'll be able to see it this time, which is, you know, in HD, in 4K, on broadcast television, on cable news. And what we're hearing is that they're preparing to cover it, you know, gavel to gavel every day.
Well, what's much more formal, Jordan, but also, I mean, think about it from the position of a United States senator. They are used to being able to enter the chamber when they're going to speak and when they're going to be on an HD camera. But then when they're not speaking, they leave the chamber, Jordan. They can't do that in this sense. They have to be in the chamber. And then you're right. They have to submit their question in writing. So even when it's their time to get a question answered, they don't get to be the ones on camera administering it. I don't think they will like that. But to your other point, Jordan, the fact that this is the first time in the proceedings that it's adversarial, this case looks this weak, even though it hasn't been adversarial to this point. It's about to fall apart completely in my mind. And I saw a statement from Mitch McConnell today, Jordan. I think you'll appreciate this. He said, two things cannot be both be true. House Democrats' case cannot simultaneously be so robust that it was enough to impeach in the first place, but also so weak that the Senate needs to go fishing. Jordan, I don't know how they square that circle.
No, I mean, this is the issue. The House is where they're supposed to put all the witnesses through, get all the facts together, and basically they issue an indictment. You know, we have a question coming in from Donna in Iowa. I want to take this call. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Donna, first, I want to ask you about you're likely not participating in the Democratic caucus, but you're out in Iowa. Do you feel like there's any candidate out there, or is it kind of just a mess that is – running away with things in Iowa right now on the Democrat side?
No, I just think it's a mess. I don't think anybody's really made up their minds I don't see very many signs out in the yards or
interesting.
One minute somebody's up and the next minute somebody else is up, and I think we're all for Trump.
Yeah. Well, I think that the state is much more solidly behind. Yeah, I think that, you know, true there. Now go ahead with your question.
I have a question. The other day Nancy Pelosi was on TV and kind of laughed that, well, President Trump, he'll be impeached forever, you know. Is there some way, if we take back the House after 2020, and that we could, like, bring up something, because this was so illegal, I think, some of the things that they did, to just totally, like, expunge it, or I think, I don't know if that's the right word or not.
Yeah, but, no, I get what you're saying, take it off, like, his record. Here's the thing. Think about the word impeachment. The way that most people hear it is that you've already been removed from office. That's not going to happen here. The president will be acquitted, or these articles will be dismissed, and he will move on to the 2020 election. I don't know if there's some mechanism in the House to do that. It would take a Republican majority if so. But I think you need to all understand an impeachment. I mean, this is the crazy thing about what she said and how little she understands about her constitutional role, which is kind of sad as Speaker of the House. Is an impeachment is like being indicted for a crime, or, you know, for us, for an average day person, it's like an indictment. Now, when you're indicted, you're not guilty. Have you always been indicted if you're found not guilty? Yeah. You've always been indicted, but there's nothing to expunge if you're found not guilty, because sometimes you actually get damages back. And you get the government can be in trouble for trying to bring a case if it was so weak against you. But in this manner, I think that's the best way to look at it, Harry, is that the House kind of indicts and then the Senate convicts. If you're not convicted, the taint, I know that the word they'll use, and they will use it politically over and over, but part one may have passed, but part two is the big deal in the Senate.
Absolutely.
The removal of the U.S. president.
So I think after we have impeachment, then we have a trial. More likely than not, the president will be acquitted. And for Nancy Pelosi, I would say he would then be acquitted for life.
Yeah. You're not indicted forever if you're found not guilty in that trial, folks. I mean, so that's why I'm taking these calls, because we're going to hear these crazy comments like this. And that won't end even when the president is ultimately acquitted and these articles are dismissed. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, Democrat debate tonight on CNN, Des Moines Register. There's six candidates up there. It's extremely diverse.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Producer Will brought up something important, because I think for political purposes, when we're talking about Nancy Pelosi saying, you know, he's impeached forever, and she kept saying that on Sunday shows. Harry, the idea is that he was impeached. Historically, he was impeached by the House. But once the Senate makes their decision to dismiss the articles, acquit the president, whatever, he's not like the impeachment's not hanging over him anymore. It's done.
Absolutely.
It was like you brought a case and the prosecutors failed. You won.
Absolutely.
As president. The president will ultimately win here. And so they want to keep talking about their failure. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I think your analysis
hasn't helped anyone else politically ever in history.
I think that is precisely correct. So, yes, the president has been impeached. But after acquittal, basically he will receive what might be called public exoneration by the United States Senate. And then the House of Representatives will find itself impeached by the public for bringing an extremely weak case, one that fails to meet the elementary standards of the United States Constitution. And so I think at the end of the day, the American people will ask this question: why did the Democrats bring these charges in the first place? And I think the answer will be self-evidently clear. The Democrats brought the charges because they did not believe that they could defeat President Trump in a fair election campaign. I think that is the ultimate answer.
What we are really focusing in on today, because I'm not sure how many more days I'm going to be able to join you like this and have the time to lay this all out. Because once the ball starts rolling on this, tomorrow it looks like, things rapidly start advancing. I may not be in this studio anymore. Maybe I'll be able to be in our D.C. studio for some of this with Than and be able to join in when I can, maybe by phone. And Than will do an excellent job, too, of covering, and our team, of covering the trial once it begins. But I want to take these days, so share this broadcast with your friends and family, because we're trying to answer the questions you may have before this all starts. Now, we're going to get into politics, too, in the next half hour of the broadcast. We're going to get into Iowa. We're going to get into New Hampshire, the Democrat debate tonight. I know that most of you are saying on Facebook you're probably not tuning in, but we will bring to you coverage of that as well, because it will be interesting to see. Like, will Bernie Sanders get the question, do you think Nancy Pelosi's doing this to you just to keep you from the campaign trail? Because it's certainly out there from the, you know, it's multi angles, Wes. When you look at this impeachment, you see that they saw an opportunity to keep the surging Bernie Sanders basically out of Iowa. Supposedly, I mean, I just heard rumors about this in the political world. He may be trying to get back there most nights at when the impeachment trial ends. But I mean, that's a 2.5 hour flight from D.C. So I mean, maybe one event. And then you're heading right back to D.C. to sit there all day. And you know, he's going up in the polls. They've seen Biden get a boost. And now Biden is going to have no Bernie Sanders out there, no Klobuchar out there, no Elizabeth Warren out there.
Yeah. Joe Biden's the only one of the top four who's not a senator. He's free to keep right on campaigning. Going back to the impeachment trial, too, I think it's going to be interesting because senators are not used to being told to sit down, stay quiet, and leave your electronic devices out of the chamber, and that'll be an interesting thing to watch. But here's the thing going into it, though, Jordan. The Democrats wanted a scandal. They wanted a definitive black mark on this president, and they failed. There is no scandalous illegal act that evokes moral and ethical outrage from the American people. And that's what distinguishes this impeachment from the other impeachments in our American history. Pelosi's strategy simply backfired. And I think in her heart of hearts, she did not want to do this. Her caucus forced her to walk the plank, and she won't admit it. But I think in her heart of hearts, she probably regrets this. And as I said during the break, to borrow a line from Casablanca, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of her life, she will regret that this whole process started. I think it's going to backfire immensely, both in the Senate trial and in the November elections.
It's interesting. I saw on Facebook, Harry, someone asked, what is the Chief Justice's role in this? Now, he can have a very active role, or he can have a very kind of, I mean, he'll still be active. You're going to hear from him more than you've ever heard from him before. when he has to ask these questions that get submitted to him. But also on the amendments, he can technically rule on them. The Senate can overrule him, or he can just defer to the Senate. I think, for the most part, and I don't know. I mean, this is new ground when it comes to presidential impeachment for this Chief Justice. And for most Chief Justices, they go through maybe once, maybe usually never in their careers as Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. So they can have a more decisive role, Harry, or a more deferential role. But what we do know is that they are talking more than the U.S. senators. And that's what's interesting here, is that the U.S. senators have to ask the Chief Justice, submit to the Chief Justice what questions they want, and he can actually make decisions on amendments that are proposed or defer that decision to a vote in the U.S. Senate.
I think that's precisely correct, and more likely than not, in most cases, he will defer it to the Senate, because I don't think he would like to see himself overruled by the senators. So there's no reason, probably in most cases, to offer a definitive ruling. However, he will obviously be active in asking the questions, because the questions are given to him. He gets to ask the questions, even if they're sent to him by an individual senator. And I think the real issue will be, when will the senators have enough of this? Because they will not have the opportunity to go before the cameras. They will not have an opportunity to grandstand. They will not have a Spartacus moment like Cory Booker at the Kavanaugh hearing. Or they will not have an opportunity to act like a prosecutor and say yes or no and demand a particular answer or try to frame the answer for the person they're questioning. So I think senators are not particularly good at sitting and listening.
Yep.
And I think at some point their patience will give out and they will probably say, enough of this. Let's get back to Iowa or some fundraising opportunity in their home state.
Yeah. Let me take Mary Ellen in Illinois quickly. Alive too. Mary Ellen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, hello. As I'm listening to you, my original question is this. Can the Senate, when they see they look at the articles of impeachment and say, there's no crime here, can't they go to the Supreme Court and have that ruled unconstitutional? Because as I'm listening to your statement that he would be acquitted, that would mean that he's acquitted of some crime, like, say, in Clinton's case.
Well, it'd be like dismissed. I mean, like the impeachment articles would fail. So the impeachment would fail. The president would remain president. They don't have to go to the Supreme Court, Mary Ellen. They can actually have that vote the moment they get these articles. They can dismiss them. Just a motion to dismiss. Happens all the time in trials. It's oftentimes granted. And so they could have a vote. It takes 51 votes. They say they don't necessarily, the Republicans don't have 51 out of their 53 yet. But as Harry pointed out, there's a lot of ways you could see them, maybe over a few days, maybe after the first week, of getting there. Because it's like enough is enough in this modern day and age, especially when you know that the outcome is certain. The president will not be removed from office. We've got a second half hour coming up on Jay Sekulow Live. Check out ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Yeah, I think we sometimes on this broadcast, because we are used to this and we've become more and more used to this kind of process, and also in our role in representing the president outside of our roles from the ACLJ to the presidential harassment, the impeachment occurs, preparing for the trial. We've always been preparing for the trial, even if there was that motion to dismiss option, even if Nancy Pelosi was saying she would never send the articles over, we were going to be prepared because there was that pressure campaign on her that this is hurting Democrats too much. She can't just sit on them until the election. So honestly, we've been there and been ready. But I do want to take a step back in this beginning of this first segment of our second half hour and just say, you know, don't let it just kind of take for granted what those of you who have supported like the ACLJ and our legal work and the choices the President of the United States has made to have someone like our chief counsel, my dad, Jay Sekulow, and I'm not doing this because it's about my dad, though I am proud of him for doing this, very proud, but it's for you. You who have been out there listening, some of you for decades, some of you may be new listeners, but the fact that because of his work before the Supreme Court, because of his work before city councils long ago, and really grassroots legal constitutional law, that the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, the most powerful leader, the leader of the free world, has decided to have him, Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel of the ACLJ, as one of his two top representatives. Two top. The White House counsel and my dad. The rest are kind of our deputies. To present his defense in the United States Senate. To present his cases at the U.S. Supreme Court. Says a lot about how far the organization has come with our legal expertise since, you know, the 1990s. Late 80s to today in 2020. And for many of you listening to this broadcast right now, I'm talking to those of you who have been supporting for, you know, you've been there. You've probably been there when I was a kid, before I was even on this broadcast. And you may remember when I was a kid and on some of the other broadcasts. Take this moment, take it all in. Not because we're happy that a president who's been doing such great work on the issues we care about, who's already been dragged through Mueller and that phony, just ridiculous Russia hoax, is now being dragged through that. I'm not celebrating that. But do take a moment to realize that an organization you supported, the top attorney from that, some of his deputies, have been pulled by the president to say, these are the kind of guys I want on my team. You've been supporting the work. You've been supporting getting to that level of expertise. Many of you for decades, some of you for a couple of years. All of you, I think, can take that time. I mean, Will, our producer, was talking to our production team here and saying, do you realize that next week, unless they do that motion to dismiss, we're going to be pulling live video of Jay Sekulow defending the President of the United States on the floor, in the well of the U.S. Senate, from being removed from office in one of the most partisan acts of impeachment, if not the most partisan act of impeachment in U.S. history. It gets pretty close to the Johnson impeachment, which was a long time ago and really was caught up in the post-Civil War era. But it was very political, and guess what? He got acquitted. He did not get removed from office. Bill Clinton did not get removed from office. And even though you could point to an actual crime there because he lied under oath, in this case, I mean, there's no crimes to point to in these articles. This is again policy disputes, style issues of that they don't like, things that should be before the voters to decide if they want to keep this president for another 4 years, not to remove from office and prevent him from running for office. But don't let that moment. I just want to take this opening segment to say, just let it all sink in too, in the rush of it. Because you've been supporting this work and we appreciate that. Go to ACLJ.org as well. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I want to answer this question on impeachment that came in on the phones, and then I want to get into some politics as well of Iowa and New Hampshire. February 3rd, the Iowa caucus for the Democrats. It's possible that this trial is not even wrapped up if it keeps going by then. And then we have the State of the Union. Bill Clinton delivered a State of the Union while the trial was ongoing, by the way. There was the Martin Luther King holiday. I mean, it was very much tracking that timeline. Again, it would be great to wrap this up before the State of the Union. And I think it would be good for Democrats to wrap it up before the Iowa caucus, at least give, you know, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Amy Klobuchar a couple days out there to try and get their back on track to be able to campaign with folks and not just let it be basically Joe Biden and Mayor Pete who get a lock on the Iowa voters. But I did want to take this call because it is important as we get into the logistics. Oh, it just dropped. Roger's call just dropped. And the call was about, where's the evidence for the impeachment? Where would I find that? Well, Than, there's the two articles. Those will be read on the Senate floor when this officially opens. Then there's about 900 pages of reports when you combine them from the House Intel Committee and the House Judiciary Committee. But it will be up to the House managers to make that case. And they have never had to do that before. They've been talking to their fellow Democrats in the House. This time, to actually win, to have the president removed from office, they've got to convince 20 Republicans with their so-called evidence that the president should be removed from office months before a general election.
And I would start right there, Jordan. I mean, I think way too much of the media coverage has been about how maybe there's not 51 votes to dismiss the case. Jordan, that's really irrelevant. I mean, the threshold has always been two-thirds of the United States Senate, which requires 20 Republicans. And quite frankly, at the end of the day on that vote, Jordan, I think there is more likely to be bipartisan opposition to it. I mean, if you're Doug Jones in Alabama or Joe Manchin in West Virginia, what side of the vote do you want that to take? I think it is much more likely to trend bipartisan in the president's direction. But on the question of evidence, Jordan, I actually think this brings up a very key point because, you know, there's the 7 or 8 pages of the two articles. Then you're right. There's the hundreds of pages of reports. But Jordan, no matter how long they are, it's interesting to me that evidence is now deemed no longer enough. Now, suddenly, We need more. We need to hear from more people, including people that the House of Representatives never decided to interview. I mean, right up to today, Jordan, the speaker has been delaying sending these articles over. She declined to talk to these people that now the Senate somehow has to. I think that's pretty telling on the question of evidence.
And the interesting thing is, Stan, it does appear, as you said, that they had the time today to vote if they wanted to. They really did. I mean, if they were ready to go this early in the morning, make the announcement about tomorrow, they could have voted today. And that whole thing about, oh, well, there's Democrats that have the debate tonight, that wouldn't have affected necessarily the timeline. They could have still had their debate tonight, and this really opened up in the Senate Wednesday. They could have had plenty of time to get back to Washington, D.C.
Jordan, they could have voted Friday if they wanted to. I mean, the announcement came out that she was going to vote this week on it. There's no reason she couldn't have put it on the floor. Literally, this is going to be 10 minutes of debate on the floor of the House. The language was already in the rule that governed the debate of impeachment on the floor. They could have moved it at any point. And Jordan, actually, that was the one little piece I wanted to add to the political conversation you had with Wes. I agree with Wes that Speaker Pelosi knew this was a mistake from the beginning. However, on the timing of this, Jordan, the fault for that lies solely at the feet of Speaker Pelosi. She is the one that delayed this, and she's the one that's going to have to bear the brunt of the consequences. Even if it falls on members of her own party, Jordan, it's her fault.
Let me tell you something. Bernie Sanders supporters, you should be angry. You should be very angry. This could have been done and given him at least a week in Iowa, even if you wanted to move forward with the impeachment trial. Probably could have gotten done, and he would have had a week in Iowa. Same thing goes if you're, a supporter of Klobuchar, if you're a supporter of Elizabeth Warren. So, in a sense, I feel for them because of what Nancy Pelosi did and because I've been on that side of, politics in the Iowa caucuses. And again, though, they all egg this on, that the president should be impeached, the president should be removed. And so they're going to be stuck with it now because they got it. They said, do it, Nancy Pelosi. Go ahead and move forward, House. Do impeach. Should be impeached. I would vote to impeach. And now they're going to be stuck there to have to do that. So I feel for them only to a little extent, not too badly. But I did want to point out what we expect now on the Democrat side. So we've got the Iowa caucus February 3rd. The latest poll, it's interesting, the poll of polls has Biden leading now. That's interesting. In a lot of polls, he's in fourth place. But a couple of the latest polls have showed him surging a bit for him in places where he wasn't doing as well. It looked like South Carolina was going to really be the first place he had a big margin of victory outside the margins. Now, he is still inside the margin of error, barely ahead of Bernie Sanders in the Real Clear Politics average. But he hasn't been in that spot in a while. And that's because a new poll that came out showed him with an advantage of 24 to 18 over Sanders. You got Mayor Pete right there at 18. And then Warren at 16, and then everybody else is in single digits. Now, a caucus is about who you can turn out. It's about how you can turn people out, so you really don't know who is going to win, like John Kerry, surprising, Howard Dean, who seemed like he had all those supporters out there, momentum, Barack Obama beating Hillary Clinton. Again, because it's about the momentum, it's a lot harder than just going and voting in a primary. You got to spend a lot of time to caucus, and they're doing a double caucus this time where you vote for your first choice and your second choice. So we're going to have like two winners out of this one, which will be kind of interesting because a caucus is not binding. You don't get delegates from the caucus. It's much more – now Iowa eventually has a primary later down the road where you actually get the delegates for your nomination. But it is a – again, it's kind of the start off up to the campaign. Now, that's February 3rd. So they've got their debate tonight, only six qualified. They're all white, and there are two women who qualified out of the six. Biden, Mayor Pete, Klobuchar, Sanders, Tom Steyer, and Elizabeth Warren. So who did not qualify? Senator Bennett, Mayor Bloomberg, Delaney, Tulsi Gabbard, Deval Patrick, or Andrew Yang. So, and the rest have dropped out. Any of the other names we've talked about before, they've dropped out of the race. So you're talking about a very small debate stage tonight. The smallest we've seen yet. It is all white. And the diversity comes only through that you have two women on the stage of Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren, who are very different politically. Klobuchar being much more into the middle, kind of Midwest Democrat, and Elizabeth Warren, who's embraced the kind of coastal Democrat borderline, almost a Democrat socialist, but tries to not cross that line quite a bit, but certainly in the Bernie Sanders lane. And so, and we've had all that controversy about, did he say a woman couldn't win, and what did he actually say about that? And his supporters, they're really starting to see each other as, and it's because I think I agree with, I saw Karl Rove on earlier on a broadcast. He's right. I mean, they're killing each other because they're in the same exact lane for the nomination. So I it is worth discussing this because one of these people, I will confidently say now, even with the impeachment trial right on the to begin just in days, if not next week, officially, one of these people will be taking on the president of the United States I went through. Could it be a Mayor Bloomberg who's not going to be there tonight? Could it be someone who's not on that debate station? I think that's an interesting question to pose to you, to pose to our audience. Ultimately, do you think they're trying to keep Bernie Sanders out? And who will be the Democrat nominee? If you had to decide today, I'd love to get people's thoughts on this from around the country. We've got people listening in from Iowa. We've already had New Hampshire, but across the country. Super Tuesday encompasses so many states that we're on right now. Just your thoughts on that. 1-800-684-3110. Who do you think President Trump and Mike Pence will be running against as the, at least for the president, who will be the presidential candidate that they have to run against on the Democrat side today? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And I'll ask it to our group right now. Is it possible that that nominee is not on the stage tonight?
I think all things are possible. And certainly, you know, Mayor Bloomberg, you know, has come up in the polls as well. Yeah. The polls for Iowa, though, have seesawed back and forth so much. I mean, at one point, a week and a half ago, Mayor Pete was ahead in Iowa. So I think it's really, you know, too close to tell.
Harry?
Well, yeah, I think it could be someone who's currently not on the stage. More likely than not, it will be someone who's currently on the stage. And I think the real question for the Democrats is, will the individual who represents their party in November actually have more than one leg to stand upon, because the Democrats will batter each other pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, and then you look at, again, Bloomberg hanging out there, and he's surging in some of these polls. He's just not qualifying for debates because of the way they set up the rules on how much you have to fundraise, and he's not taking donations. He's self-funding. So, again, love your thoughts on that. Final segment is coming up. We'll talk more about impeachment. If you got questions about that, get them in today. You got a member of the president's legal team talking to you live, and I don't know how many days we'll have left of that. 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
to take your phone calls. Final segment of this broadcast. I do think I'll be able to join you live tomorrow. So we'll know, I hope, by the show, because I would really like to go through it. And maybe I'll be able to get on Thursday as well. So definitely by then, to see who the House decides to pick as their managers. Who is going to present the case? Not an easy case to present. Not a case I'd want to present. And not so easy just to politically bloviate when you're in front of the Chief Justice of the United States and the U.S. Senate, led by Republicans. That who is going to be chosen to actually present the case, be those House managers for the Democrats? I think that is very interesting because they cannot choose their staff counsels. They can't choose other law firms to do it. They have to do it themselves. Than to me, and then I'll take some questions that have come in on the political side about, we asked people who they thought would be the nominee on the Democrat side with all the shenanigans going on with impeachment, how that keeps people away from Iowa, keeps people away from building momentum. The small debate stage with a lot of candidates left, some with huge amounts of money like Mayor Bloomberg. But I want to go to you on that idea, is that to me is going to be extremely telling who Nancy Pelosi and the House leadership have chosen to put forward to the not just to the U.S. Senate, but in 2020, you've decided to put these people forward to the American people as the attorneys. That's what House managers really are. The prosecutors to make the case to remove a duly elected president from office.
I agree with you, Jordan. And first of all, I would tell you, I think you will know by the time we're on air tomorrow. Speaker Pelosi said just a little bit ago that it was likely she's going to name them before they have the actual vote. So even though Leader Hoyer has said the vote won't be till the afternoon, I think we'll have an indication by the time we're on air. But look, to this point about who's going to be the managers, I've said this before, Jordan, but I hearken back to when the House Judiciary received the report from the House Intel Committee. Chairman Schiff did not go deliver that report as was expected. He sent his attorney to do it. And really, I just can't think of another motivation or another explanation other than he did not want to get questions from the Republican minority on that report. Well, Jordan, if he didn't want to get questions from the Republican minority, how about from the president's counsel? I mean, that just sounds like something that would be so much more distasteful to him. However, he's the member, Jordan, that I think will absolutely be one of the managers. So I think normally you would have a situation where members would be beating down Speaker Pelosi's door to try to be named a manager so they could have attention. Jordan, I don't think that's the case in this. I don't think they've had very many volunteers to be those managers. I'm sure they've had some. Members always like attention, but not nearly as much as you normally would because
I'm sure Eric Swalwell has been bothering Nancy Pelosi. And listen, you know what? She can throw. Remember, there's not a limit. I mean, you're not going to have 100, but you can have a dozen and only 6 speak or 5 speak. So people like Eric Swalwell who are like begging to be there, you know, if she wants them there, she can have them there. They don't necessarily get a speaking role. I think it's a huge sign of weakness if Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff are not leading that team. I just do, because they led the committees that got it to the impeachment. I mean, so huge sign of weakness if they feel like they are so tarnished that they can't make that case to their fellow Democrats or Republicans. That doesn't mean they wouldn't add on some people who may be a little bit more palatable to moderate Republicans, moderate Democrats. Certainly you would do that. But they don't have the luxury of bringing people in from the outside. So palatable is a pretty tough one when it comes to making a case to Republicans who think that you didn't do your job in the House thoroughly enough. And then you're asking the U.S. Senate, Harry, the U.S. Senate to do the investigation over for you.
Absolutely. So the House Democrats have placed themselves in a very nice quandary. They have offered falsehoods, misleading statements, and outright lies in order to advance their case in the House. And so I think most observers would agree that Nadler and Schiff have led the House in offering falsehoods. And so I think it would be difficult for the House Democrats to send those individuals over to be cross-examined by the president's lawyers. But time will tell. perhaps despite all of the missteps that the Democrats have made thus far with respect to impeachment, they will continue to make missteps in the future. And often, of course, the past is the best predictor of the future, particularly for House Democrats.
Folks, I want to take your phone calls, the final phone calls of the day. Let's go right in order. First to Ellie in Texas. We asked if the nomination for Democrats was held today, who do you think would get the nomination? Still, a lot can happen. There's no wrong answers here. Ellie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Well, if it was to happen today, I think it is between Sanders and Biden. But if it happens, you know, when the our caucus, it'd be Biden. I think Biden would be the one.
You think Biden would get the nomination? I think he's gone up, he's gone down, but one thing has been certain. Nationally, he's always led the polls. No one has really come close nationally to him in the polls. There's always been enough undecided votes out there to beat him, and he's been fairly weakened. And before these new Iowa polls started coming out, it didn't look like he had a chance there. It looked like the first state he really had a chance in was South Carolina, because he does better with minority voters than other candidates, particularly in South Carolina with black voters. But now it's looking like he could actually compete. I think if Joe Biden goes into Iowa and then goes as strongly into New Hampshire, doesn't have to win it, but somehow won Iowa and then gets to South Carolina and blows the field away, it's a very different Super Tuesday than people predicted for some of these other candidates. We will see, though. And people have different views. Let's go to Michael in Virginia on line two. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi.
Hey, Michael.
Hi. Yep. I believe also that Biden will eventually be the nominee, but the only way I think the Democrats have a chance in the 2020 election is for Sanders to be the candidate.
Now, why is that, just quickly? Why do you think Sanders would be a better? Because a lot of people would say Sanders dooms the Democrats because of the socialism stuff.
Well, if you remember the polls back in the 2016 election, Sanders was going to beat Donald Trump soundly in a general election.
Well, every poll showed Donald Trump being beaten soundly in the general election by even Hillary Clinton. So I think you can make a case that Sanders is a fighter. He's got less baggage than Joe Biden does. He doesn't have the votes that are so unpopular with Democrats, but he also has socialism. So I would tend to disagree with you there. Polls when it comes to Donald Trump, throw those out the door. Okay, Hillary Clinton should be president right now based off that. And every one of these nominees, Mayor Pete, would become president against Donald Trump. It's pretty hard to believe that as well. All right, folks, tomorrow we should have a lot more information, as Dan said, even more to share with you as we continue to update you on the kind of how this impeachment is going to work out. The big question now is some timing issues, Saturday or Tuesday till the fireworks really begin, and who is going to represent the Democrats as House managers? That's a big question. We know now the president's team, that's coming together, it's public now. Nancy Pelosi still holding that pretty close to the vest. We hope to have that for you tomorrow before we're on air. Go to ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.